The almighty dollar has an enormous amount of power. Sure, governments can affect change. Consumers can too. But investors can also alter the course of history by funding the development of new technology and new businesses. Tim Nash calls himself the sustainable economist, and he joins us now to talk about impact investing. Hello, Tim.
Hi there.
How would you define impact investing?
So impact investing is any investment that has a positive social or environmental impact, as well as generating a financial return.
So you need the two.
Yeah.
Has to have the two.
Yeah. We call it blended value.
Aside from having an impact, you argue that these options, we're going to talk about some specifics and specific examples in a second, aren't correlated to traditional markets. How do
Correct.
You back that up?
Sure. So, I mean, it's pretty simple. These are often, usually they're bonds, mostly debt instruments, and they're just not traded.
Debt instruments.
Correct.
Not debt. Debt.
Correct. Debt instruments.
Okay.
And they're not traded on a bond market. So there are some unique risks. They're often not liquid, meaning that your money can be locked in for anywhere from 12 months up to 5 years. But what that means is that they're not subject to the same interest rate risks that a traditional bond, whether it's a provincial bond or a government bond or even a bond ETF, would be subject to.
Right. You got an example, CoPower.
Right.
Tell us about their model, what they
Sure.
are, what they do.
Sure. So CoPower is a new entrant in this space. They've been around for, I think, about 2 years now. They raise money for renewable energy and energy efficiency projects. So their latest offering funded LED retrofits of condo towers. So you've got all these condo towers. Some of them are older. We always talk about the easiest thing is just to replace your light bulbs.
Yeah.
But when you're talking on this massive scale, that's a lot of LEDs.
Right.
Right. Big upfront costs. A lot of the property managers don't want to deal with that, even though the financial returns are obvious.
Right. Because one bulb is going to last forever.
Correct. And the fact that they're so much more efficient means that what CoPower does is they provide the upfront financing for these LED retrofits, which then they get paid back month by month as the building has lower energy costs.
There is one problem.
Sure.
No one looks better in LED lighting.
Ooh.
Actually,
ooh,
I hope
disagree.
This is for the hallways
I
only
disagree.
Because it's a bit harsh.
You can do whatever you want with
them.
This
you got to warm it up.
Don't. That's fine. We can warm it up. You got to put it through a lens.
Does CoPower need the money? Is that why they're going to the bond market? Or is it a way of engaging people in the model?
Yeah, more the latter. I mean, the money is there on the institutional side. If they wanted to raise sort of large pools of money, that would be the easier thing. But they have this added mandate of trying to engage the market in this area. So they're offering bonds, the minimum investment, I believe, is $5,000, which makes it accessible to you and I. That does, I mean, it's a lot more logistics than you can imagine the administration
yeah.
for them to sort of do this, right? But what they're really trying to do is they figure that by engaging sort of the grassroots and the everyday person, part of their mission and their positive impact is to show people that you can earn a good financial return while saving the planet.
How do you tell the good ones from the not so good ones? Because any investment, there's going right. to be ones that are outstanding and ones that
right.
are middling to really weak.
Right.
How do you apply that level of rigor
yeah.
to impact investing?
So from a financial standpoint, you're spot on. And one thing that people should keep in mind is that these bonds aren't rated. So it's really difficult to compare them to traditional bonds. Right. From the impact side, really, you know, it's about what resonates with you. And I'm not here to sort of project my values of what I think is good versus evil. But it's really, I would ask you, you know, I would show you a few of these different options and ask you, well, what gives you the warm fuzzies?
Not LED lighting.
Okay,
I don't look super handsome with LED
lighting.
That's
okay.
Solar, though.
Other things. So
yeah.
solar panels, maybe some co-working spaces. There are a lot of different options out there.
Co-working spaces.
Yeah.
There are bonds that support co-working.
Correct.
Okay, so what are the other subsectors that
sure.
I might not have thought of?
Sure.
We've got another example, but give me some broader
Absolutely.
Themes.
Absolutely. So co-working is this idea of providing a shared workspace
yeah.
for nonprofits.
I know what co-working is.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know there was an impact
yeah.
investing
so
option.
The Center for Social Innovation here in Toronto, they kind of pioneered it. They had their space that was totally full, huge waiting list. This beautiful building came on the market at Bathurst and Bloor. But how does a nonprofit buy a building in downtown Toronto. Community bonds. It's now been followed by Innovation Works in London, Ontario. As well, right now, Ten Carden in Guelph is using that same financing model. They're raising $1 million, paying 3% annual return. And basically, you're supporting the local economy, building this sustainable local economy in Guelph.
Well, as you talk about interest rates, I think that's another thing to flag as investors look at which ones they want to invest in. The rates aren't all the same. So 3% is significantly lower than 5%.
Correct.
You have another name, and I'm going to pronounce it poorly, and I apologize. Oiko Credit. It's a GIC. What's the model there?
Sure. So Oiko Credit is really, really high impact in the sense that it's microfinance. So are you familiar with the microfinance model at all?
Yes.
Have you heard of this?
So where it became popular was in developing countries. You could loan a woman $100 for a goat. She would then have the goat in the village. The milk and the eventual slaughter could transform her whole community.
Absolutely. So it loans to entrepreneurs in developing countries. So really what this is it's a fascinating model because for most of us, we can't access these microfinance products. They're really only available for these massive accredited investors. So what Oiko Credit did is they partnered with Kindred Credit Union, formerly the Mennonite Savings and Credit Union in Kitchener-Waterloo. Hmm. And what they did is they've done this GIC, whereby you can buy a GIC, it's insured, it's guaranteed, it's the only thing I can tell you is guaranteed. Right? And for every dollar you invest in this GIC, the credit union invests a dollar in this microfinance organization. Now, it's a low financial return. I think they only pay about 1.3%. But from an impact perspective, I talk about this idea of the currency impact multiple, because $1,000 invested in solar panels or in real estate here in Toronto isn't going to go very far.
Right.
But $1,000 invested in entrepreneurs in Ghana or Chile or Mongolia is going to go a heck of a lot further. So it's a way for us to leverage the relative power of our currency to do a lot of good in the world.
And where it is sustainable is instead of the person cutting a check for the exact same amount and donating it, and it gets spent, and I'm sure it gets well spent, here that money is then recycled back because your GIC comes due and you can do it again.
I call it recyclable philanthropy.
Recyclable philanthropy. Tim Nash is my guest. He's the sustainable economist, and we're talking about impact investing. Tim, one of the things that professional money managers talk a lot about when assessing investments is management. So they all say, management, strategy, track record, all that kind of thing. How do you factor that into some of these impact investing ideas?
So I always look at this as a part of an overall portfolio. So for me, this is something that you don't want to put sort of all your money into any of these buckets. But when I'm looking at my own personal money, this is something that I can carve out part of my money overall.
10%?
Yeah, that's what I use as a sort of as a standard. But really, it's going to depend for everyone. Everyone has different financial goals in different situations. So for me, this is part of an investment portfolio. Certainly, I wouldn't want to put all of my money into this area.
Why do this instead of investing for pure profit and donating for pure good? Why bring them together?
Sure. I mean, for me, it's you know, you look at the questions that you ask when it comes to what do I buy and what do I donate? Right. And for me, it's just so simple that we should be asking that same question about how do we invest our money? You know, I see all these different organizations that do so much good in the world. But when I look at their investments, they're using sort of money, they're earning money from some pretty shocking activities to then finance that good. I would argue that capitalism and that markets are an extremely powerful lever for change. Mm. So for me, rather than kind of the band-aid solutions of donating that money, let's address some of these systematic issues kind of upstream and actually make sure that the companies and the projects that are earning good money and doing good in the world actually have that funding to be able to grow and scale.
Tim, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Tim Nash, the sustainable economist.